You've heard him here on the station for a very long time. He is part of the Ellis team. They have a great program on Saturdays. Brett Ellis, hey, man, thanks for your flexibility this morning.
Oh, my pleasure, Mandy. Great to be with you.
I really appreciate it. I got to say, I mentioned some stuff on the air yesterday. I was talking about the fact that, you know, the market being what it is, we've been talking on this show literally for 2.5 years, almost 3 years, about how overvalued the market is. And I have gotten criticism from every sector of the real estate agent and broker market. But yesterday I went on the air and I called it like I see it again. There are some great deals out there right now. I mean, great deals out there.
There really are some great deals. I just listed a bank foreclosure yesterday. It just came through. It's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home in Cape Coral, almost like perfect condition, for $93,900.
Holy mackerel!
Unheard of, but it's really a sad situation on the one hand, because I really hate seeing regular people being displaced from their homes.
Well, nobody wants to see someone lose their home, honestly. I mean, I don't think anyone is sitting here going, wah-ah-ah-ah, you know, I'm happy they got kicked out. But, you know, from the flip side, I always say where one man's tragedy is another man's opportunity. And that's sort of the nature of the beast in our free market economy. What is the advice that you have for people who may not be in a short sale situation, or they may not be behind on their mortgage, but all of a sudden they've been offered a job in another community?
Well, I think the first thing you need to do is contact a real estate professional and determine what is the home actually worth in today's market.
Right.
The second thing, if you've been relocated, ask your employer if there's any assistance available, maybe in buying out the house that you're in. A lot of people don't realize sometimes they can negotiate that. Although in this tough job market, a lot of employers are kind of calling the shots, and they don't have to do that like they used to in the boom times. And then, I think in all situations, to make fair and intelligent decisions, you have to understand what is the home really worth, what's my realistic options, and then kind of put the whole puzzle together. And believe it or not, working with your lender sometimes the lenders will do workouts with you. The short sales haven't been very successful, but there are things you can do with your lender, and it really just depends on who your lender is, how many mortgages you have on that property, and just, you know, a lot of different facts. It just, you know, takes time to sort through all of that.
You know, Brett, one of the things that is really, really important is the communication with your lender. I mean, that cannot be underscored. And although, I got to tell you, I've gotten some email lately from people saying, I went to my lender and said, I cannot make my mortgage payment this month. Will you work with me? And the lenders were less than helpful. That kind of shocked me a little bit, because what, they don't want the houses, you know? They want you to pay for the houses.
I'll tell you a little story. I was dealing with a lender. It was on a short sale situation, and we presented them an offer. I listed it at fair market value, just over $200,000. There was a first and a second. Now, I'm dealing with the second on the short sale because the first doesn't have to do much. They're in first position. The second position mortgage is not in a good position, so they know that they may lose next to everything, if not everything, if this thing goes to foreclosure.
Right.
Well, I had to deal with a lady who was in charge of the entire Florida region. I won't name the bank. But this person was less than professional, had no clue as to what the market really was, even though she told me I had no clue. She knows all of Florida, and it's all the same. And if she just wasn't doing her bank, her customer, anybody a service, and there was no getting around her. She was just, you couldn't go to her boss. But this is one of the worst individuals I've ever had to deal with, and it's really a shame. And I think some of these banks have better loss mitigation departments than others. It's all the quality of people that you're dealing with. And if you're not dealing with a good quality person, some of these companies haven't trained their people the way they need to be. I don't think some of these companies have really grasped the situation of what we're dealing with here.
Well, and let me ask you this. Would it be appropriate, because is that, in your opinion, the exception rather than the rule? That sort of person, and would it be worthy? Would it be valuable to someone who may be in a tight spot if they're dealing with a person like that, to say, "Hey, is there anybody else I can deal with on this matter?"
That's what I would encourage them to do. Is that's what I tried to do. I was not successful in this case, and usually I am successful in getting someone else. This case, I just wasn't, and unfortunately, you're really at the mercy, because you have to understand. I mean, I do understand the lender's position. They lent somebody the money. They do expect to be repaid. They gave you the money on good faith, and a lot of these people didn't tell the truth on their loan applications.
Right.
I feel very sorry for the homeowner that's being displaced, but some of these investors have said, you know what, I put $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 up, but I don't think this is a good investment anymore, so I'm just going to walk and let the bank take more losses than me.
Right.
Well, I don't think that's fair to a lender, but okay, here we are. So it's kind of like the war in Iraq. Here we are. What do we do going forward? I mean, decisions have been made prior to this. Now, what's the best decision right now?
Let's talk about this. You've mentioned short sales and dealing with the first and the second, and a lot of the stuff that I'm seeing on the real estate market says this is a short sale. There may be time constraints. Can you give me a thumbnail sketch of if you are a buyer and you see a house that you really like and it says this is a short sale, what does that mean for the buyer?
What that means for the buyer is there will be time constraints. What's really happening here, let's break it down. What the lender is saying is, hurry up and find us a buyer because we're going to foreclose on you. But as soon as you find a buyer, everybody slow down because it's going to take a while for us all to get our act together because we need time to fight with each other. We need time for this lender to point fingers at that lender and then at this borrower and at this and at this and then everybody to sort out who's going to take the loss, how much, and whatnot. And that typically takes, on average, about 4 to 6 weeks. I've done some in as little as 5 days, and I've talked to another agent that's got one going over a year now.
Oh, my God.
And that's a little bit ridiculous. The statistics are about 5% of the short sales are actually closing.
Oh, you're
now,
kidding me.
100% of the foreclosures are going to sell.
Right.
So, if the situation is right, I would buy a short sale. Failing that, I would just move on either to a foreclosure or a regular home with a normal seller who's prepared to price at today's market. As long as you've got that, does it really matter if it's a foreclosure as long as you're buying it for a market value?
Yeah, absolutely not. And the thing is, for a couple of years now, we've been hearing affordable housing, affordable housing, affordable housing. Well, let me tell you something. If you can't find a place to live now, you're not looking hard enough because I've been watching the MLS like a hawk for about 6 or 7 weeks now, and there's stuff in every price range. Can you hold through the break, Brett? I'd like to continue this conversation on the other side of the break.
Absolutely.
Let me do this. I want to ask you, if you're talking about buying a foreclosure, what are some of the pitfalls that you're looking at? What are some of the things you as a buyer need to be aware of? And things like that. We'll finish that conversation. We're talking to Brett Ellis. He's with the Ellis team. You can hear his show here every Saturday at 11 a.m. We'll be right back after a check on the news, traffic, and weather with Dave Rohde. Take it away, Dave. We are joined this morning by Brett Ellis of the Ellis team. You can hear his program here every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Thanks for holding, Brett.
Oh, my pleasure.
Now, we're talking about the real estate market. Before I ask you to go into detail about how to buy a foreclosure, because there's so many on the market right now, and I would think probably more that will be entering the market soon, have we reached the bottom yet, or are we close? I mean, what are we looking at here as far as Southwest Florida goes?
I think it really depends on what you're talking about. We may very well have reached the bottom, especially in certain segments that weren't affected by heavily investors' inventory. For instance, Southwest Fort Myers didn't have a lot of investor inventory and actually rose 0.33% last year. Other parts of the county are down 10, 15, 20% over the last year and may have more to go. Parts of Lehigh Acres right now have list prices below last year's average sale prices, which is a phenomenon I've never tracked, and I track that each year for our annual State of the Market report. So it's really hard to say. I do know that there are a lot more foreclosures coming, and they are predominantly in certain areas, and it's really hard to say where prices will shake out. But I will say this, that the foreclosure prices tend to be less than the average fair market value,
right.
And that may be the floor, and once we clear through this inventory, actually these foreclosures are a healthy thing. We've got over 16,000 single-family homes on the MLS in Lee County.
Right.
But unfortunately, a lot of those are short sales, and they're really, as we said earlier in the first segment, only about 5% of those are actually selling. 95% are failing to sell because they just can't work it out. So they're not really on the market. Once you work those through, the bank actually forecloses, brings it to the market, maybe at a better price, typically at a better price. You sell it. The market is actually cleansing itself. It's actually a healthier thing.
It's correcting. Because I got to tell you, for the past 2 years, some of the prices that I have seen, I mean, we've talked about it so much on this show, have been really, really unreasonable when you put them in line with wages in this area and all of the other cost of living indexes for Southwest Florida. Housing prices were just, they were beyond reach. And now we're seeing a correction where things are sort of falling back in line. Now, let me ask you this. If someone is considering buying a foreclosure, what are some of the things that they need to watch out for?
Well, there's a couple things. There's a couple ways to do it, and there's a couple things to watch out for. Typically, the average foreclosure is an as-is situation. So I really encourage people to get in there, look it over very closely. One, look at the value to make sure you're getting a good value. Look at the condition of the property, how well it's been kept. Three, you may want to get your own home inspection prior to making an offer. Now, there's a couple ways to make an offer. You can do it directly through the agent. For instance, we just listed an entire credit union's properties, plus I deal with the largest lender, and I'm listing many of their properties right now. So you can do that directly through an agent, or there's this thing called an auction, and there's another one coming up in April. And I would get with a good agent and go over the list, because we get these lists ahead of time, have it go with that agent to the auction. But what you want to do is do your homework first, because you never want to bid blind.
Right, right.
You want to inspect these things. You want to go over with your agent. Hey, what is the value of this thing? What should my maximum bid be? Because you don't want to get caught up in a bidding frenzy. It's exciting, especially for the uneducated real estate person. You don't want to overpay when you could have bought that thing cheaper directly through the agent than you did at the auction.
Exactly.
So, but I think the main thing is determine the value, not get too emotional about it. See if the plan works for you. If you're going to live in it, is the home functional? Is it where you
right.
want to live? Nothing matters. I don't think a good deal matters if it's not going to make you happy, if it's not where you want to live, if it doesn't work for you and your family.
Exactly.
And three, you want to find out if there's anything wrong with it.
Okay. When you are at these auctions, you need to have what? You need to have a verification that you have the funds available.
Well, the way the last auction worked, and I'm going to another one here in April, you need to bring a cashier's check for at least $5,000 or 5% of the amount of money that you're going to need.
Okay.
And then it starts the process. So if you're the winning bidder, you basically, they start the process right there. Now, not every property at auction actually sells, because they actually have what they call a subject to. And let's say Countrywide is bringing a property to auction, and there may be several lenders, but Countrywide may not, they're just the servicer. There could be different investors on this thing. So they have to check with their investor, and the investor may say, no, that this offer is not going to cut it, or this buyer is not going to qualify, and the property goes right back on the market with the agent, or stays on the market with the agent, or comes up at a later auction some other time.
You just said if it's the location isn't right, you have to make sure it's the right thing to do. Have you ever had people get a bit in the rear end by buying a foreclosure, and how do you avoid that?
None of our customers have, but I have heard horror stories. For instance, there's a difference between buying a foreclosure and there's buying like tax sales. I do have someone I know that went and bought a lot in the frenzy, and I said, oh, I wouldn't do that, because you really have to file a suit to quiet title, which means just because you buy a tax sale property doesn't mean you have good quality title. It means nothing.
Right.
So this person went and bought this thing. They paid about, was it $30,000 for this lot? And then they found out there were people who were also entitled to the lot, and they lost everything. They lost all the
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So it's all about education, though. It's like anything else. You have to educate yourself if you want to make sure that you don't end up having problems in the long run.
I think so, and it's easy because people see these gurus on TV say, make $1 million with me, just buy my system. But you know what? Some of that stuff doesn't work in Florida, and you really got to educate yourself to find out what's legal, what works, and what makes sense.
Now, Brett, every Saturday at 11 a.m., people can tune in and hear the Ellis team on Saturday mornings. But if people want to enlist your help either buying or selling your house or buying your – how many houses are you guys moving right now, Brett? Let me ask you that. Put you on the spot.
Well, you know, the true answer is I don't know, but we just had a buyer specialist meeting, and one of our buyer specialists sold 4 last week.
Very nice.
And, you know, we're taking a lot of contracts, especially these foreclosures. As we bring them to market, we tend to get a lot of offers on them right away because they are so attractively priced. So we're selling a heck of a lot of properties, nothing probably like we were in 2004, 2005, but we're still grateful.
Brett Ellis, give people your phone number. How can they contact you?
239-489-4042, or they can visit our website at topagent.com.
Topagent.com. Brett, thanks for joining us this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you,
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.